Masters of Parenting, a podcast from Chicago Parent Magazine. I'm your host, Hillary Bird. Hi, today we are talking about sleep training with Pam Jones. She is a registered nurse and co-owner with her sister, Patricia Pori, of Sweet Dreams Infant Care, and the two are the authors of Raising Confident Parents. She has more than 25 years experience at Chicago area hospitals and 10 years teaching parents how to teach their babies to sleep. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
We are excited to learn how to teach babies to sleep. Is there a good time? When should a baby start an early bedtime routine? Is it right out of the hospital or after they get home?
So we try and really incorporate an early bedtime routine when their circadian rhythm kicks in. So that's about 6 weeks old. The first 6 weeks, they really are not too picky. They don't care where they sleep, what time they get a bath. They're pretty flexible. But around 6 weeks old, we really want to work with their circadian rhythm kicking in. So we want them to get an early bath and an early bedtime in a dark, quiet room with a noise machine by 7 p.m. So even though they're still going to be getting up probably every 3 hours at that point to eat, it gets them into an early bedtime routine and really helps them from getting overtired and work on that healthy sleep early on.
I think that's really interesting. I remember with our kids, I think we just sort of looked around and said, okay, it's 10 o'clock. We know they're going to be up again in another 2 hours, 3 hours. So we'll get them to bed. So maybe we can start. But I like that idea of putting them down at 7. So you're aware of, you at least get a couple of hours before they get up for the next time. Have you found too that when babies go to bed even that early, does that make them much easier to sleep train once you finally make the decision to say, okay, we're going to train our baby on how to sleep?
It really does, because I was the same way. My kids are 35 and 29, and trust me, I did everything wrong. I'm not a morning person, so I thought I'm going to keep them up really late, and then they're going to sleep in with me. And trust me when I tell you that never works, and I still see it today. So I tell parents, everything that you believe might work, think the opposite. Because keeping a baby up late, you will find they will not sleep in. What happens is when they're up too long, their cortisol level rises in their bloodstream, and it's like putting them to bed after giving them a pot of coffee. It happens with us too. We get so exhausted and I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to be able to sleep 12 hours. And when you're so overtired, the same thing happens to us. The babies get into a really light sleep when they're overtired and have a high cortisol level. So they have a really hard time falling asleep. And then once they are asleep, they have a hard time staying asleep. So getting them in that early bedtime routine really does help with getting them used to that healthy deep sleep. During that first year, they really have a lot of brain growth and development when they're in that deep sleep at night. So when they're having frequent wake ups, they're not sleeping in a good sleep environment. They have a lot of wake ups, and it really can help to deter their brain growth and development. And so that's what I explain to a lot of parents when they're hesitant on working on healthy sleep, how really important it is, that we're really doing this for them. We're not doing this to them. And that helps parents to really start to understand the importance of healthy sleep.
If you're putting your child to bed at about 6 weeks, starting at about 7 o'clock at night, and they get into that rhythm, what is there an age that you should really start transitioning them to sleep longer on their own? How do you do that?
Sure. So we really recommend starting about 4 months from their due date, 4 to 5 months. We want them to be over 14 pounds, and they need to be taking about 30 ounces of milk during the day for in the first 12 hours. Or really, if they're breastfeeding, we want them to be in the 50 percentile of their weight. So then we know that they can go during the night without feeding.
Okay.
But so it really depends on, you know, how much they are eating during the day. And that's the biggest factor that we look at. You know, neurologically, you know, we don't want to let a baby cry before 4 months. It's easier to teach them new habits. You know, we want to teach them self-soothing from the very beginning, even when they come home. We're not going to let them cry, but, you know, we want to try and not get them into a constant habit of always being rocked to sound asleep, bounced on a ball, sound asleep, you know, driven around in a car like I did 35 years ago to get my son to sleep. And I would have driven to China if it meant I got 3 hours of sleep, to be honest. But, you know, I didn't know better. So, you know, now we know better, so we do better. So anything that you can try and not get them used to, you know, habits that they're going to be used to. Because we call the first 4 months kind of parent-directed sleep. Most babies, we feed them, they fall asleep. That's just what happens. We're not going to jar them and wake them up before they go to sleep. But anytime that we can lay them down drowsy and have them be able to learn to self-soothe, whether it's a pacifier or they're chewing on their hand, anything for them to use their own abilities to self-soothe and put themselves to sleep is really going to help in the future. But sometimes that's just not possible. A lot of times the first 4 months, like I said, we're all on survival mode. And we do, you know, what we have to do to try and get some sleep. So after 4 months, then we really want to work on baby-directed sleep, where the babies learn to put themselves to sleep on their own. Because we all wake up, say, 10 times during the night after a sleep cycle. We roll over, fluff our pillow, try and go back to sleep. If a baby is used to always being rocked and fed into a sound sleep, every time they wake up during the night, they really have no idea how to put themselves back to sleep. They need that same scenario that they had when they went to sleep the first time. So then you're going to have a baby that's waiting for you. You know, come on in. I got to go back to sleep. Rock me and feed me and put me back to sleep. So that's, you know, when we try and get them to learn how to self-soothe if they haven't done it already, you know, been able to on their own already. There's a lot of different methods that parents can use for sleep training once the baby, you know, meets all the criteria. And we really look at, you know, habits that have been developed, what needs to be changed, how ready the parents are. You know, the parents really have to be ready to start this process and be very, very consistent. Consistency is number one, because if you really want to start whatever process you choose, you want to be able to stick to it. Because if you've done check and console for one night where you're going in every 5 or 10, 15 minutes, consoling the baby, and, you know, there is crying involved. And then the next night you can't do it anymore and you put them in the car and take them for a ride or hold them and rock them or whatever you do to try and get them to sleep, you've really gone backwards. And you put them through the first night for nothing, because you really have to start from scratch. So that's the first thing that I make sure that all partners are on board and, you know, feel like that this is a good time, the baby's ready. And then I talk to them about different options. You know, it can be done as slow or as quickly as they're ready for, and, you know, that they think that their baby's ready for and that they can stick to. So, there is a lot of different options out there There's the cry it out option. There's check and console. There's pick up and put down. There's options where you can put your mattress in the baby's room or a chair and slowly move the mattress closer to the door until you're outside the door and get the baby used to sleeping by themselves in their crib. So there is a lot of options to, you know, go over with parents. And it really just depends on, you know, what they know they can stick to. And, you know, that's the most important. You know, if you have babies that have reflux, you know, things may have to be done a little bit slower because a lot of babies with reflux, they get used to eating more at night. Because when during the day, they start to, as they get older, they have reflux after they eat and it's painful, they start to associate eating with pain. So I find a lot of babies that have reflux will only snack during the day, and because they associate that feeding with pain. And then during the night, you know, they'll be half asleep when they're eating, won't be really thinking about it, and, you know, they'll wolf down an 8-ounce bottle. So those are situations that we have to look at, and that can be become, you know, a behavioral development that we kind of have to work with decreasing those, you know, nighttime feedings little by little, getting the baby to eat more during the day. So there's a lot of factors that we have to look at. You know, teaching healthy sleep habits is really not a one-size-fits-all at all.
Right.
And sometimes it's portrayed as, you know, just do this and every baby it will work for. And that's really not the case. You really have to look at the baby individually. You have to look at the family dynamics, you know, the parents, and try and make a plan that is going to work for everybody.
Sure. Well, sorry, you mentioned some of those different methods. Can you talk a little bit more in depth on those and what are some of the pros and cons to some of those? You said, you know, you mentioned like cry it out and pick up and console. And so what are some of those and, you know, how would parents use those?
Sure. So depending on, like I said, the situation, you know, if the parents have had the baby in their room and the babies are used to seeing them. One method is the mom will like sit in the chair or be in a mattress by the baby's crib so the baby can see and sense that the parent is in the room, and then soothe when the baby's crying, and then little by little each night move the chair or the mattress out of the baby's room. That is a process that does take longer, so the parents kind of have to be, you know, prepared for a slower, longer process. Pick up, put down, sometimes I'll start that a little bit earlier, where when we're teaching self-soothing, we're not really letting the baby cry, but we're trying to teach them to self-soothe. So you'll pick up the baby when they're crying in the room, you know, soothe them a little bit and put them down. Pick them back up, soothe them a little bit and put them back down. Try and soothe them enough to calm them, but not put them to sleep. So that they're learning as you lay them back down to try and go back to sleep on their own. The check and console I do use a lot. It's more of a gradual process, but it does work a little bit quicker. And so I go in and check the baby every 5 minutes. I'll go in, just do a quick console. I don't talk to the baby. I'm just kind of putting my hand on their chest or their back or their face, kind of letting them know that I'm there. I'm going through this with you. I know it's tough, but, you know, we have to teach you how to self-soothe yourself back to sleep. In this process, we don't talk to them. We don't pick them up as long as, you know, they're old enough and ready to be sleep trained. And then we leave, start the clock over for 5 minutes. And we do that every 5 minutes for 30 minutes, then every 10 minutes for 30 minutes, then every 15 minutes until they fall asleep. So that's a check and console method. Cry it out. I honestly don't use this method unless the baby is, you know, maybe a toddler or the parents, it's something that they want kind of to go over and be supervised. I don't find a lot of clients that are able to do it. But it is, you know, it is a process that, you know, some parents do use once the babies are older, you know, a bit older.
And is that just sort of put the baby down and then say, okay, we'll see you in the morning, and kind of monitor to make sure that they're safe, but otherwise just let them, like you said, just cry out the sadness.
Yeah. So they're just kind of working it out themselves, you know, teaching themselves how to self-soothe and without any, you know, without anybody coming in.
Right. But you said too, that's easier for older kids.
Yeah, some kids, you know, some babies, say a year old, or even after 6 months, they're smart enough to know when we go in the room and, you know, we touch them, they're smart enough to know, hey, you're in my room, I know you can pick me up. And so sometimes they get more angry. You know, they get more angry when we go in because they're like, what is this all about? You're supposed to pick me up, rock me, feed me, and put me back to sleep. And so sometimes with babies over 6 months, we'll start to spread out that check and console longer to give them more time to put themselves to sleep. And as, you know, as they're just kind of winding down, you know, we'll restart the clock and give them more time to put themselves to sleep. You know, especially, I mean, if you're dealing with like a 1.5-year-old, every time you go in, which I still, you know, I do check and console with older babies also, and lay them down and try and console them, give them Pacy, or if they're older and they have a lovey, give them that to try and get them, you know, to console themselves. But I may, you know, spread out the time a bit longer just because, you know, they do get really mad when you come in the room and you don't pick them up.
I can imagine. Now, you mentioned coming into the room. How important is that sleep environment for babies and infants to try to get them to sleep? I mean, do you need something like blackout curtain, or you know, what should the environment look like?
Yeah, so the sleep environment is really important, and I start that from the day they come home. You want it really dark. I've had people put up, including myself, put up for my granddaughter, put up black garbage bags over the windows. I've had people that I helped put up wrapping paper over the windows to just make it darker in the room, because it really does help them to get into a deeper sleep. And I really recommend a noise machine, a constant noise machine that you can plug in. You know, the stuffed animals that play music for or like 10 minutes are great, but you go through a lot of batteries. And I like one that, you know, plugs in and it continues all night. It helps with the babies when they are waking up during the night, you know, whether it's like constant rain or waves, ocean waves. It helps them to soothe themselves back to sleep. It also really helps for, you know, the outside family to not have to be so quiet. You know, your baby finally goes to sleep and you're so afraid to put away the dishes because, you know, you don't want to make any noise and wake them up. So I think, you know, a constant noise machine really does help. A nice cool environment, you know, SIDS recommends between 68 and, you know, 72. I really recommend about 70. I do recommend swaddling the baby from birth. It really helps them to feel secure and snug. And a lot of parents will say, oh, my baby hates to be swaddled. They fight it. That usually means that it's not secure enough. And you want to make sure when you're swaddling the baby that you use a swaddle blanket that cannot slip up and go up over their face.
Oh, right.
So
yeah,
that's really important. I do use the Miracle Blanket a lot because it can't slip up as long as you do it nice and snug, and they kind of, you know, really feel secure, like mm-hmm. they were nice and close in the womb. And it really can help to calm them down. They have the reflex where they're smacking themselves in the face and scratching their face with their hands. So the swaddling really does help. We just want to make sure that once they're starting to attempt to roll onto their stomach, we take them out of the swaddle, usually about 4 months, and put them in a sleep, in a wearable mm-hmm. sleep sack that doesn't have a swaddle. I really like the sleep sacks because it's a wearable blanket. You know, we don't want anything in the bed, no loose blankets, no pillows, no comforters, everything that I did have in my baby's bed 30 years ago. When my daughter looks at pictures of her crib, she's like, Mom, this is a death trap. And it's true. It's terrible. I mean, when I think back, you know, it's scary. It really is scary. You know, I use bumper pads, comforter, you know, stuffed animals. I am thankful, you know, and people say, okay, and your kids are all fine. Thank God, because, right. you know, I didn't know better, so I didn't do better. You know, I'm the youngest of 9. So I was in the back of a station wagon with no car seat, you know, obviously, you know, that's not something that we would do now. So right. even though thankfully, you know, I drove my son around in the car, in his car seat, that's the only way he would sleep. And then I would bring the car seat in and let him sleep in the car seat. Very yeah. unsafe. Very, very unsafe. Right. I didn't know better. Now really, we don't want babies sleeping in the car seat, outside the car. If they fall asleep in the car seat in the car, that's fine. The movement will keep them awake. If we bring the car seat, I mean, I've had clients that bring the car seat in, put them in the crib, let them sleep all night in the car seat. Very unsafe. Their face, you know, their face can fall forward, obstruct their airway. It's just not a good safe position.
Sure. You mentioned the car seat as sort of a sleep device, for better or for worse. There's a lot of new, much, much safer, but there's a lot of new kind of safe devices that exist on the market, trying to lure parents to help sleep. Are there pros and cons to some of these devices?
Well, the pros are, you know, they're very snuggly and comfortable, and I would love to sleep in one. but unfortunately, the cons are they're not safe. Mm-hmm. We really have to focus on babies, you know, safe sleep environment. Anything that has any type of cushion, soft material around the baby is not safe for sleep. You know, mm-hmm. there's things that they can, you know, lay on the floor and do tummy time, play in there, lay on their back, put an activity mat, you know, over it with hanging activities, and those are great ways to use those devices. But anything that has any type of soft side is not safe for a baby to sleep in. Mm-hmm. The babies, you know, can, you know, they can turn their face and they can put their face actually into the soft side and cause suffocation. But parents, you know, they think they're safe because the baby's not moving yet or the baby's not rolling over, but they change in an instant. They start moving, you know, they roll over in a day, and these new sleep devices that have the soft sides, that have the pillow sides, the baby, you know, not only if they can't put, you know, don't put their face into the side, there's the risk of if they turn their face to the side and they have this pillow there by their face, you know, they're breathing and there is a pocket where they're rebreathing in their carbon monoxide, and that is causing asphyxia and suffocation and SIDS, you know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Right.
And so, as you know, as comfy and cuddly as they look, they are not safe for sleep. We want to focus on back to sleep, where the baby is alone on their back in the crib.
Right.
For the safest sleep.
Right. SIDS was, I'll be honest, once the, I got through the pregnancy period, which you have a fear of, you know, at that point of everything. But, once my baby was born, both of them, you know, SIDS was, I'll be honest, probably my greatest fear. And we got one of those snooza. My husband always called it the robot, but it was a snooza thing that went onto your diaper, and told us, you know, it beeped if it couldn't feel her breathing. And it was one of those things that I bought in the middle of the night. The very first night she got like 6 hours of sleep, I was up about every 20 minutes, just checking on her to make sure she was okay. And then, you know, in the middle of all of that, I was like, we got to make something that's going to make sure that I can sleep, because she finally slept and I couldn't, because I was worried right. that meant that something was wrong. I know they've now moved on to, you know, to like the sock. You know, by the time our second was born, a mere 20 months later, they had moved on and, you know, had gotten a sock. I know now that there's a monitor that has sound waves that will that it's like a video monitor that can watch and tell you if your baby's not breathing. But SIDS was literally, you know, our greatest fear, and we kind of kept it on her all the time at that point, because until she started to move around and then it kept falling off. But you know, I said this because I was so afraid that if we hadn't swaddled her right, or, you know, or something, that our benefit of sleep would mean that something had gone wrong. I don't know if that was more ease of mind. You know, if that was even a good thing or a bad thing at this point, because I do worry that we may have relied on it too much to sort of let her go. Because,
But it is peace of mind. And, you know, some of those, things that are out now, you know, if they give you peace of mind, as long as you have the baby in a good sleep environment on their back, then it's good for your peace of mind. I do get complaints that there's a lot of false alarms, so it really scares the parents.
Right.
But, you know, as long as the baby is in a good sleep position and, you know, it's giving you some peace of mind, you know, certainly it's worth it.
There's so much we have still yet to talk about with Pam Jones of Sweet Dreams Infant Care, but we can't fit it all into one podcast. So come back and we'll talk more with Pam in 2 weeks about sleep training babies.